Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Welcome back to the Stage Right Side for this very special holiday episode. I just got back from California where we did the Nutcracker in Orange County at the Segerstrom Center for the Arts with ABT. And, you know, just got back, meaning I got back on Saturday. Then I took the train to Connecticut, to Hartford, Connecticut, to do two shows of the Nutcracker with Bella at Connecticut Ballet at the Bushnell Theater. I'll tell you more about that in a bit. I slept until noon today, which is completely unlike me. I have been on such a sleep deficit with travel and performing, and my body was like, please don't make me do anything. So it was really luxurious and lovely, and I love my bed. I'm just going to say that. I love my bed. I want to talk about the Nutcracker in Orange County for a little bit, and I have a very special little post-show download clip that I'm going to play for you with Isabella Boylston, a.k.a. Cindy, who I danced with there. The Nutcracker, for me, is like, I mean, it's something that I've been doing for so long, since I was, I think, 10 years old, and I feel like I've done so many roles in the Nutcracker. I mean, I've been the prince for the majority of the time, hair flip, fierce wink to camera. And, you know, California for me, it's like a really nice respite from the cold of winter in New York, but it also kind of like is triggering because that's where I, where my knee exploded in performance of the Nutcracker, in a performance of the Nutcracker. So going back to it every year, it's like a test of my physical and mental will. And I think it's really fierce that I'm out there doing that, you know? Bella and I opened up the production this year on Thursday, the 11th. And the show went really well. I have a clip of me and Bella talking about how we felt after the show. Please forgive the audio quality of our little discussion. It starts off a little clickety-clack, but then evens out. So just be patient for a minute, all right? So I'll play that. Why don't I do that right now? So get into it. Me and Isabella Boylston talking about how we felt about our performance in Orange County of ABT's The Nutcracker. Hit it.
This lash keeps like trying to glue itself
to your eyeball.
To my upper eyelid.
Oh, yeah. I know that well.
My eye's just going to be glued open. Oof. Oh, my gosh. I am so tired right now. It's crazy.
Okay, let's be friendly. Ready?
Hi, everybody.
Hi. It's Isabella Boylston, and I am Jamez Wissah. I swindled.
Is this the Stage Right Side?
Yeah. I swindled Bella into doing my podcast as long as she could record it for her vlog.
At the same time.
So you get a video version on Bella's YouTube, which is just search Isabella Boylston. You'll be able to find it. And then we're getting a little cross platform
promotion.
It's like if Jennifer Lawrence and Ariana Grande did a thing together. We're just that famous.
Equally important. Okay.
We wanted to talk a little bit about our performance in Costa Mesa.
Yeah, let's do a download. Okay, how did you feel? I felt like overall I felt really good the whole day.
I felt
really relaxed and like chill the whole day. I didn't feel anxious and stressed, which was a really nice feeling.
Yeah.
Although the nerves did set in before the show.
They always do.
They always do.
It's more like nerves for just how tired you're going to be.
Especially with this production, because the Bratmansky choreography is just so notoriously difficult.
It's outrageous. Yeah. So just for some context here, we're in Hartford, Connecticut today, and we're doing two shows of the Nutcracker at the Bushnell Theater. And we're dancing with Connecticut Ballet as guest artists. Mm-hmm. And we thought it would be fun to do a little download of our performance in California while we're getting ready for Act 2.
Yeah.
So we've already done one show. I just finished Act 1. I have a little ditty in the battle scene and snow. And, we have our pas de deux in Act 2 to go. And then we're finally on
vacation.
Break.
Oh, will you help me nail this tiara in?
Yeah, so I'm going to help her put this tiara in for those of you watching on video.
Oh, wait, let me put a hair net on. Oh, my gosh, we really don't have a lot of time.
I know we don't, so we have to keep it moving. I felt really, overall very good in the performance. Like, I feel like there's always things. There's so many things in that pas de deux that can feel a little spooky.
Yeah.
I've never been like, I was perfect in that, you know? And some ballets, you do feel like you nailed it. But I've never felt that with this ballet. And that doesn't mean, like, I hate myself. I am really hard on myself a lot of the time. So maybe I do hate myself a little, but I also think I'm great. So it's confusing. I'm just very, very judgmental of my own work.
Yeah.
Sorry about it.
Totally. Is this bun acceptable?
Yeah, it's not fine. Great. And you just spray it a little bit.
Yeah, I'll spray it. Okay.
How about you? Did you feel...
I enjoyed the pas de deux so much. Yeah, That's always just a highlight. Like, the second I hear the music, it just takes me to where I need to be because it's so glorious and epic and grand and romantic. But then, yeah, I felt like halfway through my variation, I got really tired. And then maybe we don't have to nail it quite as hard as last time.
You just tell me.
As long as it seems secure.
So what I feel like is your long pins are good. And then,
one of them over.
Wavy pins.
Okay, perfect.
Right over the top of it. And it's pretty.
Okay. Excellent.
Seguridad.
Yay.
Do you feel like that's enough?
I think so. Oh, and our friend came. Jennifer Garner was there, which was so sweet. And my family was there, which was really cool.
We all went to In-N-Out after. It was really fun.
It was a great night.
Yeah, trying to think, like, if there's anything else. I don't know. With this ballet, it's really... Well, I don't know. I guess it means a lot to me because of the injury and everything happening in California.
Yeah.
So, like, it feels... like a real hurdle for me, like mentally and physically. And I feel like I do as well as I can considering, and I am proud of that.
Yeah, totally.
So we have to go to act two. Are there any other notions you care to discuss?
Any other notions? Okay, I feel like we're being really serious and boring right now because we have to go dance.
Yes.
So we have to go.
Hopefully we can do an act two to be proud of.
Yes.
You know?
Let's just try to have fun.
It's
our last show.
Let's do Holiday Spirit 2025.
Sorry. Yanking on my tights and trying not to flash you.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See you on the stage right side. And with that, I am officially on winter break. Oh my gosh, it feels so good. I can't wait to rest my body and recover from the fall season and from Nutcracker and everything. So yeah, slay. Another very special thing I want to do on this episode of The Stage Right Side is I have been really burnt out on social media, specifically Instagram, because that's like pretty much all I do. And I just don't really want to do it anymore. And I was thinking to myself, okay, I enjoyed the creative aspects of what it used to be. And what's another way that I can like create and have fun without feeling like a complete idiot. And I was talking to some of my friends and they suggested that I try writing for Substack. So I just wrote an essay about the Nutcracker and I don't know, I had fun with it. It didn't take me that long. I enjoyed it. It felt way better than doing Instagram. And it was just a creative, fun thing to do. So I'm going to read my very first Substack post for y'all. And it is called 31 Years, a Nutcracker Prince. Here we go. 31 Years, a Nutcracker Prince, an essay in three parts. Part 1, Hartford Ballet, 1994 to 1997. The Nutcracker is like a poppy seed stuck in your front teeth, an inexorable black dot from the everything bagel of your life. You know it's there. You can feel it with your tongue obsessively. You can't see it, but everyone else can, and they're whispering about it behind your big gay back. If you're from somewhere other than New York, here are a few facts about everything bagels. They are, in fact, everything. Besides the infamous poppy seed, there are loads of other things on an everything bagel. Onion, salt, garlic, sesame seeds, and in some criminal cases, fennel seeds. Yet the only little fucker that gets lodged between your oral barn doors is the wily, conniving poppy seed. It was designed by our Lord to make you look foolish and unhygienic when you head into your 9 a.m. meeting. I have been dancing in the Nutcracker since I was 10 years old, and while I love bagels, poppy seeds inevitably happen. I auditioned for the Hartford Ballet's Nutcracker in 1994 and was given the role of the child version of the Nutcracker Prince, which I performed for about 3 very formative years. It was my first time experiencing ballet company life, and at 10 years old, I was mesmerized. I can still call up a vision of a principal ballerina standing outside the Hartford Ballet building wearing a shiny gray 80s unitard and pale pink leg warmers, ripping a cig like there was no tomorrow, throwing it down on the pavement, crushing its cherry red ember with her point shoe, and finally exhaling a dragon's breath of smoke before turning on her heel and waddling back through the glass doors of the building. Little gay me thought to myself, "Yes, bitch." I recall being so attracted to the men of the company. It was my first time being in a room with so many adults in tights, and I was hyper aware of their masculine bodies. The smells, the body hair, the sweat, the bulges. Ballet clothing was different back then. Everyone wore these shiny lycra unitards that left nothing to the imagination. It was incredible. All that said, I had a girlfriend at the time, which now is completely laughable. Open gayness was not particularly prevalent in the culture at that time, so I was just doing what I thought I was supposed to do, date girls. My girlfriend auditioned for the production as well and was cast as a fairylette, which I thought was such a fabulous word. I'd say, "My girlfriend is a fairylette. They're so pretty. Oh my God, I love their little fairylette gossamer wings and tiaras." My poor girlfriend. Poor me. I remember very little of the dancing or the years of performances with the Hartford Ballet and the Nutcracker other than I felt like I was excellent, which is a feeling professionals rarely experience. I also remember the wild feeling of notoriety and suburban fame. After performances, children would gather at the stage door to ask for autographs from the principal dancers as well as from me, the Nutcracker Prince, and the dancer playing the role of Clara. I have analog film photos of me at maybe 12 years old, grinning like the village idiot, Cleopatra winged eyeliner on my swishy little face while signing programs for lowly plebeian party children. I felt as though I were a cast member on the Mickey Mouse Club, destined for Disney-level superstardom. Aging out of the child roles was like a small death, too short for adult roles and too tall for kid roles. It was an insult to my sense of justice. What do you mean I can't be in the Nutcracker this year? I am the Nutcracker, you blithering idiot! But that relentless, conniving, some bitch of a poppy seed wasn't done with the nooks and crannies in my horse teeth, damn it. Part 2, Boston Ballet, where the poppy seed really digs in. Coming soon. Well, there you have it. My very first little Substack post. I had fun writing it and felt very nostalgic for me to dig into my brain for my Hartford Ballet years. And the funny story is the gig that Bella and I just did with Connecticut Ballet was at the very same theater as my very first shows in the Nutcracker with Hartford Ballet. So real full circle journey. Yeah, it's fun. So I hope you'll subscribe to my Substack. I'm going to keep writing things. It's not all going to be about the Nutcracker, I promise. I just thought it would be festive, shall we say. So yeah, go check that out. Just look me up. I think it's James B. Whiteside is my Substack. It matches all my other stuff. And I'll be sharing some photos, like with accompanying the article or the post or whatever you call it. I don't know. Is that picture that I mentioned of me signing autographs for the other party kids. And I really just look like I'm having the time of my life. And the eyeliner was truly legendary. So go enjoy that. Well, I'm enjoying a cup of coffee now, and I hope you are too. I wanted to talk about fall season because I don't think I ever did an episode about fall season. I am sorry for the inconsistency with the show. I'm going to try to be better about that in the future. I danced Plato's Serenade after Plato's Symposium, which is a ballet that was created maybe in 2016 by Alexei Ratmansky. And I was an original cast member. I originated my role in that. And it was so interesting to revisit it. The last time we did it was in 2019. And I feel like my perspective on the ballet has shifted and changed. And I am interpreting everybody's roles in a different way. So it's based on the book, Serenade After Plato's Symposium, which is a bunch of bros talking about love together and what they think about it. And I think my character is Phaedrus, if I am remembering correctly, but he never told us explicitly. I'm just basing it off of the order that people speak in the book. So it could be wrong. I don't know anything about anything, and ignorance is my defense. But I'm interested in the feminine quality of my character. The steps Alexi gave me are very effeminate, and I rarely, if ever, get to be a gay person on stage. And this is, once again, not explicitly gay, but I am taking every opportunity to gayify my moves as much as possible because it's just more fun that way.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
For me, I had a great time doing this ballet again. And at the very end of the ballet, a woman is introduced into the mix of an all-male cast. And I don't know what it is about really, other than I believe that the central pas de deux man in this ballet is having a sexuality crisis. And is really trying to be the one who wants a woman, but is not interested. Or the men are trying to convince him that he is not interested in women. So I feel like my character has some very tender, soft moments with this lead man who was originally Marcelo Gomez in the original cast and is now Jared Curley in my cast. And like, I am constantly having these little moments where I'm like putting my hand in his or like holding him back from going to the woman. And I feel like it's a tale of wrestling with one's sexuality and like society and what they think love actually should be. I don't know. I can't really tell you that that's what Alexi is thinking, but that's how I interpret it at this stage in my life. I don't know. I'd be curious to ask. He'd probably be like, no, that's not what it's about at all. It's just about the book and shut the hell up. But I read more than perhaps he intended. And I want y'all to see this ballet if you've never seen it and see if you're clocking the T that I'm clocking, because I think each character comes out and each person has a personality that is so them. Like Calvin comes out and is Calvin, and that's Calvin as a person. And I feel like Alexi knows who we are as people, and the dances that we do are because he knew us so intimately. Erman comes out and is Erman. The original cast member who did one of the dances was Gabe Stone Shayer, and when that person comes on, you see the dance that was Gabe. You know, it's very interesting, and it's a very rare thing to have so many people able to show their unique personality in just dance. You know, there's not really much more to it than these like very pure, beautiful dances. I think it's a masterpiece, one of my favorite Romansky dances in his whole catalog. Go check it out the next time we do it. I don't know when. The other ballet I did was Twyla Tharp's Bach Partita, which is quite possibly my favorite Twyla Tharp dance. that I have been a part of and seen even. People talk about In the Upper Room all the time, but I think Bach Partita is a masterclass of musicality and innovative movement style. It's really, really unique. And I think the costumes are very simple and make people look attractive, which we don't always get. I like when I get to wear a costume and I'm like, okay, yes, this is flattering, which is not always the case. Yeah, it's just a beautiful ballet. I danced with Chloe Misseldine for the first time, who's a principal dancer, a young principal dancer in the company. She is prodigious and such a sweet, sweet person. And yeah, I really enjoyed working with her. I thought we brought out really like different things in one another. It was an interesting process and everything. And Susan Jones, our regisseur, she put the ballet together. So I was part of the original remount of this back in 2014, I think it was. And I danced the original, you know, redo of the ballet, which Twyla was in the studio with us and edited and changed things. I danced with Polina Semyonova, who is an exquisite ballerina, just absolutely exquisite, one of my favorite in the world. And I love this ballet, and I didn't know that I'd get to do it again ever. So it was really nice to revisit it. I just really enjoyed Fall Season so much. It was, you know, I did dances that I love. And once again, that is not always the case. You dance what you're told to dance a lot of the time in a ballet company, and they're not all bangers, if I'm being completely honest. So I just had a great time. And then it was the ABT Incubator, which is a choreographic workshop, basically. Four choreographers were chosen for this year's incubator, and it's judged by, like, you know, ABT in-house people. And the director, Susan Jaffe, and the director of the incubator is Jose Sebastian, who's a soloist in the company. And it was the choreographers were myself, Melvin Lawovi, Duncan Lyle, and Alicia Walker. And I chose to expand a piece that I made in like 2013, 14, I don't remember. It was a piece that I made for Gillian Murphy called On the Water to Schubert's Auf dem Wasser zu singen. What do you think of my German accent? Wow. And I expanded the Schubert Lieder and chose four other songs by Franz Schubert, sung by Renee Fleming, the icon, the legend, the best. And the dancers in my piece were Finian Carmacy, a core member, Sunmi Park, soloist, Sierra Armstrong, soloist, and Ingrid Toms, a core member. And the piece, I don't really want to talk about what it's about so much because I just don't want to. And I really loved making it. It was exciting to, the piece is about 22 minutes long, and we had 10 days to make it and then have a showing. And it was just really a beautiful process. And I love the music so much. And I wanted to make a sort of like Renaissance style aesthetic of dance. It was very, very exciting. Mikhail Baryshnikov, I guess, likes my choreography, which is so crazy. He gave me a residency at his center, at his studios, to work on something last year. And so I invited him to come check out the showing, and he came and gave me some great feedback. And it's just, if you had told young me that Baryshnikov was going to be a bit of a mentor for my choreography, I would have laughed at you. Like directly into your face. And I'm just grateful for the honest, thoughtful feedback. And same thing with all my colleagues and everything. I was so grateful to people like coming by and giving me ideas and thoughts. So yeah, it was wonderful. I love making stuff. I really hope that someday I'll retire from performing and have this as something that I get to do. Because as you all know, I love making stuff. Like whether it be books, videos, choreography, music, you name it. I just like making things. It's a luxury and a privilege, and work diva, yes. what else do I have to talk to you about? Oh my gosh. I'm going home to my dad's for Christmas, and I'm very much looking forward to that in Fairfield, Connecticut. And then I'm going to see my sister as well. And it'll be a cute little Christmas moment in Connecticut. And then I come back to the city and I'm doing a big like party with my friends for New Year's Eve, which should be chaotic and fun. I haven't done like a true party in a long time. And I'm really looking forward to that. And then I'm doing a little writer's retreat in upstate New York. Two of my best friends have a place in Rhinebeck, New York. And that's where I went and wrote my first book. So I'm working on a new book, and I'm going to be up there in the cold and the snow, clacking away on my keyboard. I'm really so, so excited for this book. I've been kind of working on it for a long time, and it's my first foray into fiction. So who the fork knows if it's going to be any good, because I truly have no idea what I'm doing, but I have ideas that I enjoy working through. So I'll be there, and then I come back and do my, we have like a marketing campaign for ABT for the spring season, and I'll be shooting some photo and video as Iago in Othello, which is beyond fabulous. I encourage you all to come see Othello this spring. It's one of my favorite sort of modern full-lengths. It's gorgeous choreography by Lara Lubavitch. I play Iago, who has been interpreted by many as a queer person, deeply, deeply obsessed with Othello. And I'll be dancing alongside Calvin Royal III as Othello, and I cannot wait to be out there with him. He's a good friend, and he's also my dressing roommate at the theater, so we love her. And I'm also shooting another ballet that I can't talk about yet because it hasn't been announced. So stay tuned for that. And then we start up rehearsals for our, you know, winter tours and stuff. So, you know, we just keep cooking over here, and it's great. I made myself a cup of coffee right now because I was lagging, shall we say. I am currently reading the following. I'm reading a book called Gay New York. It's the gay history of New York City, and it's really interesting. It's like the late 1800s and early 1900s. And girl, ain't nothing changed. Nothing's changed. These hoes are the same. Like, not only is the oppression pretty much the same, but the expression of gayness is the same too. Like, it's just so interesting to me how society is so cyclical, and we just haven't learned anything. But that being said, I'm just happy as a clam these days. I'm enjoying my big gay life and enjoying everything. I'm so bummed, though. There's this great, great, great gay bar in Costa Mesa called Strut. It's like more of a club, I'd say, actually. And it's only been open a couple years, and it's already closing. I'm so sad. There's really not much to do for gay people in Costa Mesa. There's Tin Lizzie Saloon, which is like there's like a pool table. It's kind of a dive bar saloon, and which is great, and I love that. But if you want to like dance, if you want to dance around a top 40 pop hits, Strut was your best option. And I'm sad it's closing. I don't know why. I need gay people to go outside more. I feel like the telephone has left people wanting to stay on their sofas and look at a screen, and I don't love that. Go talk to each other, you gay people. It's hotter out there than it is on your phone. Let me tell you something. That's the tea. I'm also reading the Rhyrea something, Revelations maybe? It's a fantasy trilogy written by somebody. I don't remember. It's Rhyrea is spelled R-I-Y-R-I-A. Something like that, R-Y-R-I-A, I don't know. They're kind of epic fantasy novels, and I've been plugging away at that for a while. I enjoy it very much. It's very entertaining. I don't think it's like top tier for me, but I am still enjoying very much. So if you like fantasy, check that out. It's about these two thieves who are like hired thieves. They get, you know, intrigue, what have you, magic. It's a lot of fun. And what else have I read recently? I read this book called Challenger, which is about the Challenger explosion, the NASA Challenger explosion. Absolutely fascinating. That was nonfiction. Just absolutely fascinating. It goes into all the stories of the people involved, like the crew members and the administrators and everything. Really, really interesting. So if you're a space nerd, go check that out or buy it for a friend who is. Another one I read recently was another nonfiction, was called Lone Survivor, and it was about a Navy SEAL who was the lone survivor on a mission in Afghanistan in like 2006 or 2007 or something. And oof, oof, that was a 5 out of 5 for me. I thought it was so interesting, so sad, really a lot of, I don't know, energy and heart. There was a little bit of like homophobic language in there that I didn't love. And I can imagine that the author is not a huge fan of gay people or queer people. So don't love that, but the book was amazing. Separate the art from the artist. I don't know. Really great book called Lone Survivor. Check it out if you are love like a war nonfiction moment, which I find pretty interesting. Okay, that's enough of books. Now let's talk about television. Holy hell. Heated Rivalry on HBO. This is a Canadian production based on these male-male romance novels. Heated Rivalry is the name of the second book, I believe. I haven't read the books. I will read them. My friend Michael Breeden is reading them right now, and he says they're hysterical and so much fun. But this show, good God, it has no right being this good. It is so sexy and has so much heart and has the best lighting in television. Good God. And whoever's the music supervisor needs a raise, because that it is like all over the gamut, all over the map stylistically and genre-wise. And I love it so much. And the actors are killing it. It's so good. Heated Rivalry, a gay hockey romance show. Fabulous. 10 out of 10. Best gay show I've seen in a long time. Puts Boots to shame. Sorry to Boots. Also, it's very explicitly, like, sexually gay. Like, it's very hot. Very, very, very hot. And the fandom is going crazy right now. And there are a lot of female fans, which I find so interesting as a gay person watching a gay show. And, like, I don't goon over, like, straight romance. Like, what makes women goon for male-male romance? What is that? And if you know, enlighten me. I guess I could like Google it. Fabulous show. Please go watch it. I hope there are a million seasons, because there's, I think, 8 books or something. Fabulous. Everyone is so hot. I can't believe how hot everyone is. It's ridiculous. The also the lead man, I don't know his real name, but his name in the show is Hollander. Like, he has the prettiest face I've ever seen. It's crazy. That's enough for this episode of The Stage Right Side. Thanks so much. And go subscribe to my Substack. Tell all your friends. And it's Christmas, so what a better gift than my book. Yes, I'm trying to continue to sell my book, which is Fees. Honey, Fees. What are you selling? Okay, much love. Happy holidays. I will be back next week. What are we going to talk about? Yes! Screaming. Bye. Love you. Make sure to follow me at James B. Whiteside on Instagram and TikTok. That's James B. Whiteside. And don't forget to click the link in my bio to purchase tickets for upcoming performances or to buy my book, Center Center, a funny, sexy, sad, almost memoir of a boy in ballet. Enjoy!
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.